recording.
Welcome to Crappy Hollywood Reboots. I'm Casey.
I'm Trace. This is the third time we've tried to record this one.
Man, let me tell you, third time's the charm, because technical difficulties.
Yeah, that seems to be a constant theme in this show.
Yeah, it's okay. It won't change.
Hey, we're rolling with those punches.
We're punches.
Yeah, we are.
That's let me tell you, the tech's a little off, the brain's a little off, if you know what I'm saying.
Amen to that one, amen.
Woo! It's been a tough week for us here at Crappy Hollywood Reboots, not in regards to the show, just in regards to life.
Life, man.
So, we're firing on full cylinders tonight.
Oh, man. Welcome to theme week. Welcome to our second theme week.
If this is your first episode, you might want to... might want to skip a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
Or forward, you know.
You do you.
Listen to this one when you like us. Anyway, welcome to Crappy Hollywood Reboots, the only show where we pitch Hollywood movies that they need to come out with, that they need to reboot, and they need to throw back at us.
Ooh, need is a pretty strong word.
Yeah, I mean, with some of our past episodes, we've needed, very few of them.
Very few.
But we know for a fact that Hollywood is going to try and throw most of them at us.
Yeah.
So you might not have asked for Minecraft the movie, but it's coming.
It is.
And it's going to punch you like a brick.
It's literally coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a movie that's happening. So yeah. we're not kidding.
No, we're not kidding in the slightest. Run.
Yeah. And go listen to our rendition. That way, when Hollywood rips us off, you can be a witness in our copyright trial.
Yeah. And This is episode 10, which is kind of a milestone for us. This marks 2.5 months of Crappy Hollywood Reboots.
Look at that. Round of applause, baby. Could we get a little soundbite of people going, ooh?
Yeah, we will. I'm going to make it happen.
Or could you just, like, layer that sound, like, 10 times over? And so it's, like, 20 of me going, ooh?
I definitely can. And it's going to play right now.
Ooh!
But anyway, this is our, every 5 episodes, we do a theme week. And this theme was Walmart bargain bin.
Bargain movie bin movies.
So what Casey and I did was we went to our local Walmart and we dug our little tiny hands into their bargain bins and pulled out a movie, and we kind of had to be stuck with a movie to reboot.
We pulled out a movie and went, okay.
And if Casey's experience was anything like mine, I probably pulled out X-Men Days of Future Past like 15 times.
I kept on pulling out Steven Seagal movies. And I was like, these aren't going to be rebooted by any stretch of the imagination.
That's great.
So...
Yeah, I was also pulling out like spaghetti westerns and...
Yep.
And there was one point where I pulled out Surf's Up 2.
Ooh.
Which I didn't know they made a sequel of.
Yep.
But it's like every cast member is a wrestler in that movie. So that was odd.
Is that the Penguins movie?
Yeah.
About the penguins that surf?
Yeah. There's like one where a bunch of them are just voiced by wrestlers. So
hey,
that's
man,
something.
They got to break into acting somehow.
Yeah.
And but, it may as well be voicing animated penguins.
But, so Casey and I have no clue what movies chose us. And so...
Yeah. We didn't choose the movies. The movies chose us. Yeah.
And before we reveal those, we have a couple of emails.
We got some emails.
Me-mails.
Females.
Actually, yeah, both senders are of the female variety.
Nice.
The first one is cool. From our pop culture correspondent herself, Brittany. And she has challenged us in some future episode, whether it be CHR or direct-to-DVD, which is the bonus episodes that we put out every Tuesday after the theme week episodes. So watch out for that one
in a couple days. Be on the lookout. That one's coming. It's going to drop on iTunes.
It is. And Spotify.
And, yeah.
And the podcast app.
Everywhere you listen to a podcast, it might be there.
It will. It could be there. But anyway, she challenged us to cast a movie with an all-ethnic cast. So,
all people of color?
Yeah.
Did she say specifically African American or just people of color?
I think it was just people of color, if I remember correctly. I can pull up the email. I kind of just memorized the emails because they were so short.
Well, cool. I mean, either way, that'll be fun, and that'll broaden us out in our choices
for sure.
And I like that.
Yeah, I think that it'll be needed, and it will definitely it'll open our, like you said, it'll broaden who we know, and like
it'll diversify our casting pool.
Yeah,
which I'm up for that.
Yeah, she said I would like to challenge you guys to come up with a movie that casts very little or no Caucasian cast.
So, cool. That sounds good.
And the second email. Thank you, Brittany. By the way.
Thank you, Brittany.
And the second email comes from your little baby boo.
Uh-oh.
Your GF herself.
Oh no.
And I won't reveal her. I'll let you reveal her name if you feel comfortable. But
shout out to Shayla.
Yeah, okay. Great. she asks, "Hey, how's it going?"
Good.
It's
going well.
Yeah, it's going. So thanks, Shayla, for that.
Oh, is that the content?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, hey, that is just to let you know that our email does work. We do check it.
We do check it, and we will call you out.
And hey, if you just wanna email to ask us how we're doing. Makes us feel good.
It does. It's very reassuring that you care about our health. Now I'm just waiting for Callie to show her face.
Ooh. Call out, Poe. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's our email section. I believe yes. That's all the emails we have for now.
It is.
Nice. Keep them coming. Email us at crappyhollywoodreboots@gmail.com.
That is crappyhollywoodreboots@gmail.com.
That is crappyhollywoodreboots@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We might come up with a jingle or something at some point.
It'll be fun.
Sure.
All right.
Now that you've been waiting for like 9 minutes, we're going to get into the meat of this podcast, the bread and butter.
Ooh, boy, am I hungry.
Yeah?
I guess.
Wait, who's going first?
I think it's your turn.
Well, that's good, because I'm actually going to go straight from that hunger into a movie related to that.
Uh-oh, I already know.
I'll tell you in just a second.
I feel like I already know where this is going, because I think I saw this movie in the same bargain bin.
I'm sure you did. Here's the thing. When I was going through the bargain movie bin movies, I accidentally picked out a not bad movie. It has a sequel. And so I am writing the long-awaited third in the trilogy.
Okay.
And so the first two came out. They were good. They made a television series, which I didn't know about. Apparently, it was not very good. So that's a thing. So, you know, get your popcorn, grab your Skittles.
Ooh.
It's time to listen to Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Was that not what you were expecting?
That was not what I was expecting.
Oh. What were you expecting?
I don't... For some reason, there were, like, a million copies of Sausage Party.
Oh.
In the $5 bin.
I'm not even going to touch that.
It's a good movie. It's very weird. I don't recommend it to young people.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I didn't really want to see it.
Yeah.
But I heard it was not bad. And then they really treated their animators horribly during that process.
I don't know anything about the process.
So. Well, I just know that they had a habit, apparently, of, like, keeping their animators overtime and, like, not paying them for it.
Yikes.
And then when the animators complained, they, like, fired them and blackballed them.
Wow.
Yeah, they were super not cool about that movie.
All right, guys.
Seth Rogen especially.
All right, guys. Well, everyone, let's get our picket signs ready. We're just going to march straight up to Seth Rogen's house and be like, hey, man.
Hey, what are you doing?
Anyway.
Come on, man. Yeah, I mean, I might be wrong about the Seth Rogen part, but I know for a fact that they mistreated their animators. So yeah.
Well, it was
a pretty bad move.
Well, the animators did a great job, because the movie looks great.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is the animators put in so much work, but they don't get enough of the credit.
Sure.
So, shout out to the animators. I wish I had thought about that for this Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I would have called you out. I can look you up later and then give you a shout out. But for now, we're talking about Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 3.
Yeah.
The taglines, there's not going to be like a tagline on the poster. They're going to be like fake reviews of the movie.
Okay.
And so what they're going to have, like, the first one's going to be, like, bunnier than ever. Because, like, buns. And then one's, like, two plums up.
Oh,
and
God.
One's, like, let us watch it again. And then, like, towards the end, one of them's, like, sardine to wonder if anyone reads these reviews. And then, like, at the bottom, there's just one that goes, food pun.
Great.
Like, they just gave up. So I think that'd be fun. Since the first one was based off the original book, the second one was all new. The third one, we're actually going to go back to one of the books, because apparently there were sequel books.
What?
I did not know that. Yeah. Like, the original book came out in, like, the 70s.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The latest installment came out in, like, 2013 or 2015.
What?
Like, super recent.
That's, like... So did it, like, come out alongside the movies?
Yeah. Like, they wrote it after the first movie, okay. I think.
I mean, why not? That's a way to make some money.
Yeah. And, I mean, people are gonna do it. And so I'm following in the footsteps of the third one, the most recent one, in which it's about space. So this is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs in space. So... Spoilers for the first two movies. I'm going to give you a brief recap just to, you know, catch you up to speed, just in case you haven't seen it or you haven't seen it in a long time. So, we all remember the main character is Flint Lockwood, who is played by Bill Hader.
Yes.
And Flint creates the FLDSMDFR, which converts water into food. He invents it in the first one, the FLDSMDFR. It converts atmospheric water vapor into food, which it starts doing. He launches it into the sky by accident. It starts raining food. It seems fine until it almost destroys the town. So Flint stops it with the help of local reporter Sam Sparks, played by Anna Faris, his dad Tim, played by James Caan, his monkey Steve, played by Neil Patrick Harris, the town mascot Baby Brent, played by Andy Samberg, Officer Devereaux, played by Mr. T, who would later be replaced by Terry Crews in the next movie, and Sam Sparks' cameraman Manny, played by Benjamin Bratt. And it wasn't until, like, I looked up the cast list of this movie that I was like, holy cow.
That's loaded.
Yeah, they got a lot of famous people in this movie. And so, at the end of the movie, the machine is destroyed in a giant explosion, and the residents live on a food island. The second one picks up immediately after that, where the town has been turned into a food island, and its residents are like, oh, we can't really live here anymore. So they relocate to San Fran Jose. Meanwhile, billionaire inventor Chester V, who is a Steve Jobs parody played by Will Forte, asks Flint to shut down the reactivated Flodismodver, which has apparently survived the explosion, and which has now begun to produce Foodimals, which are food-animal hybrids.
Oh.
Okay, I don't need your sass. Anyway, Chester V secretly plots to harvest the island and the Foodimals into food bars. But fortunately, the group teams up again alongside Chester V's helper, a super intelligent orangutan played by Kirsten Schaal, and a strawberry named Barry. And the group comes together, they defeat Chester V, and allow the island to remain inhabited by the Foodimals.
Yay!
And so this all brings us to the third chapter of the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs franchise.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Here we go. After the events of the second one, life seems pretty great for Flint Lockwood. He's dating Sam Sparks. They're successful after the events of the first two movies.
Yeah.
He's rekindled his relationship with his father.
Of course.
Life is good. Things are going great. Then an alien shows up.
Right.
And so an alien lands in his front yard. This alien is Zop, and Zop is played by Kyle Mooney. I think
yes.
That would be hilarious.
I love Kyle Mooney.
He is so funny. So, and these movies have a habit of casting SNL peeps.
Yeah.
So I really think, having him in this part would be fun. And so, Zop reveals himself to be a Martian sent to seek help against the cosmic food storms, which have laid waste to the Martian surface. So he comes to Flint to ask for assistance as they heard about the events that occurred on Earth, the events of the first two movies. However, men in black, like government agents, show up at the door, at Flint's door, before he agrees or disagrees with the alien. They show up and they're like, they give Flint a card, and they basically ask him to spy on the Martians. And they're like, keep this hush hush, don't tell anyone, but we would like you to spy on the Martians for the government. And so, he's like, oh, okay, I guess. And Sam is super suspicious and is like, I don't know. But Flint and the gang pack up and they travel to Mars with the alien. And so, once there, they meet the Martian Empress, Zipa. And Zipa is going to be played by Jenny Slate.
Okay.
Who is super big in voice acting right now.
Yes.
And regular acting.
Yes.
And I think all of the Martians are going to be like some play on Zop or Zeep or Zorp or something like that. I think it'd be really funny if they all just had almost the same name. And so she begs them to help out against the storms of giant pies that have appeared from the direction of the sun. And so these giant pies are smashing into the Martian surface. They're decimating homes, doing really bad things. And so Flint realizes, however, after testing one of the clouds, that they must have been given off by the explosion of the Flodismodver at the end of the first movie. And so he inadvertently caused this because the blast of the explosion sent a wave of particles into space across the void, engulfing Mars in the blast. Space... science. Woo! And so, but Flint, in order to sort of make up for his mistakes, he offers to build a machine that will catch the pies from the atmosphere and then teleport them to Earth, thereby saving Mars from destruction and actually helping end world hunger back on Earth. Two birds with one stone. And Zipa's like, hey, that's brilliant. Helps out both planets. Yay. And Flint sets to work building the machine using advanced Martian technology. The Earth government, who has been listening in the whole time, they're under the direction of President Slottlemyre. President Slottlemyre, I think I'm going to get another SNL peep, Taron Killam. I think I'm going to have... he's been in a couple things. He's a pretty famous SNL actor. I think it's Taron Killam. I don't know. Maybe I'm mispronouncing his name. Sorry. Anyway, and so President Slottlemyre calls Flint and is like, hey, we'll help out in any way we can.
Yeah.
And so Flint completes the machine, which begins immediately catching the pies and sending them to Earth. The government boxes the pies, gives them out, solving world hunger. Zipa thanks Flint for his machine, and the friends enjoy a relaxing vacation on Mars, and there's like a montage of them trying Martian activities and events, which are very strange and unusual, and they have a lot of fun. Sam, however, notices that the clouds are beginning to dissipate.
No.
Which means that the storm might be coming to an end. And so that means the Martian crisis is over. However, President Slottlemyre calls Flint and is like, hey, if the Martian crisis ends, world hunger isn't solved, you know, like that cancels the plan. And Flint's like, yeah, I know, but it's a good thing, you know, because now the Martians don't have to duck for cover. And, Slottlemyre's like, hey, Flint, it would be really cool of you if you invented a way to, you know, resume the Martian crisis, to sort of get that back going again, you know? That way, you know, it would help out the citizens of Earth. It would help out with the world hunger thing. And Flint's like, ah, that's a really not cool idea. I don't want to jeopardize one planet for another.
Yeah.
And Slottlemyre's like, okay, all right, whatever, man. And Sam discovers a further problem. She discovers that the clouds did not actually dissipate, but were absorbed into the ground due to the machine's activity. And they're actually changing the molecular surface of Mars. They're changing it from the planet Mars into a giant Mars bar. Because, of course.
Yeah.
That's great. And so it's turning the planet into a giant chocolate bar. Which is, you know... really bad news. And President Slottlemyre, who you find out has actually been secretly profiting off of the market of pies to the Third World, that he's not been giving them out, he's been selling them, overhears this, and he's like, hey, I order teams of soldiers to Mars to harvest the ground's chocolate in hopes of further profits. And so teams of soldiers are sent to Mars... In order to harvest the planet of Mars, which is becoming a giant chocolate bar. And Flint's like, well, we gotta stop the machine, because if we stop the machine, if we reverse it, it might end the effect that it's producing on Mars. And so Flint goes to reverse the machine while the remainder of this team try to stop the agents that are showing up, and who are trying to harvest the chocolate. Sam begins sort of a moral argument with President Slottlemyre. She's like, what you're doing is wrong. You can't harvest this planet. People live here. And Slottlemyre's like, I'll do whatever I want. I marketed pies to the Third World. I profited off of Third World hunger. I can do whatever I want. I'm the president, blah. And, however, Sam has actually been baiting President Slottlemyre, and has her cameraman, Manny, recording his confession of profiting off of world hunger. All the while, Flint finally gets the machine to reverse, thereby putting the clouds back into the air, out of the Martian surface. You know, space science, woo! and so Mars is saved, Slottlemyre is thrown out of office, his profits are returned to the countries he manipulated, and Flint and the gang decide to hang out on Mars a little more, celebrating with Zop and Zipa. And that's the end of the movie.
Oh. The Slottlemyer, more like Sleazlemyer.
Yeah, he's a little punk kid. Yeah, well, the movies tend to have a little bit of a, like, sleazy people in power thing going on. Like, the first movie, the mayor is a horrible person. The second one, there's this, like, evil Steve Jobs clone. Right. So I was like, how are we going to up the stakes? Let's have the president of the government that Flint is under.
it's just this formula that keeps giving.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would actually go see that if it happened. I don't think that'd be a bad movie.
Yeah, it sounds really cute. I mean, like, it's something that you've seen before, obviously, but...
Yeah, but...
Harmless.
Yeah, it's fresh, sort of.
Yeah.
It's a fresh spin on a tried-and-true formula, so that might not actually be a terribly crappy Hollywood reboot, but hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed that little nugget.
Speaking of nuggets, do I have one for you?
Oh, I was like, how are you going to segue that?
For
it. What did you do?
My little journey...
My little pony...
started at the $5 bargain bin.
Mm.
And I put my hand all the way into the bargain bin, pulled out X-Men, and I was like, all right, well, that's still going.
That's happening.
And then after that, I pulled out a freaking another movie that I was like, I pulled out Rocky, and I was like, that's literally the example we gave.
Yeah, can't do that.
But it was like Rocky 1 and 2 compilation, which I was like, that's pretty cool.
Your movies were better than mine. I just kept pulling Steven Seagal movies.
Really? Well, and then I had, like, you know, the spaghetti westerns that no one knew, and that's that crappy Surf's Up 2 that no one even remembers. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to give it one more shot before moving over to the $3 bin.
Oh. Yeah.
And so I dug my hand in the last time and
pulled out of the cookie jar
a classic movie that people watch.
Oh no.
Probably every year.
Is it Oh.
Yeah. It's a holiday movie.
Oh no. Holiday movies are so bad anyway.
I don't know. This movie it's kind of near and dear to my heart.
Uh-oh.
It's Hocus Pocus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Hey, you're in the wrong month for that, buddy.
I know, we just missed it, but,
But hey, you know, bonus Halloween episode. We're not done with it yet.
Yeah. Ooh,
you know how
spooky.
Christmas keeps creeping forward? We're gonna have Hollywood creeping backward.
Backward,
that
baby.
Way you're done with Halloween, but you're not done.
I literally pulled out this movie, and I was like, of course I would pull this movie out.
Good.
But, I mean, I really didn't know what to do with it.
It kind of ends pretty solidly.
But it ends on, like, an ambiguous thing, which I will recap right now.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Hocus Pocus...
Diddly Docus.
First of all, go watch it. It's not the greatest movie. I'd even say it's bad, which is a hot take. But
well, I here's the thing. I think it's the nostalgia that everyone's like,
it's definitely a cult film. Like, people love this movie, including myself. I enjoy this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie for being a cult movie. You know, like it's a good. It's a nostalgic bad movie, like Space Jam.
I mean, or Hellraiser. I really enjoy Hellraiser, but that movie, boy howdy.
The cricket scene.
Yeah, the effects are really good. The effects are really good for that time, and the story is really inventive. But good heavens, the acting in that movie, which is a totally different topic. I digress.
Yeah. Well, so. we'll talk about the cricket scene at the end of the podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
Stay tuned.
I can't wait. Actually, I rewatched that for Halloween, but
nice.
So Hocus Pocus 2.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. As of September of 2017, it's happening. Hocus Pocus 2. But of course. and guys, don't get too excited. It's a TV movie, so it's made for TV. And as far as everyone knows, no one is returning. So it's an all new cast. So
because that's always worked out.
Yeah, so Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy Najimy, everyone is nowhere to be seen.
Yikes.
But Hocus Pocus, so it centers around Max and his sister Danny. Mm-hmm. Danny. And they had just moved to Salem, Massachusetts from Los Angeles. We are given at the beginning of a movie like some exposition about the witches. They feed on children's souls in order to look young.
like you do.
Yeah, which is like it's a trope. But anyway, that's whatever. So 300 years later, after we are given this exposition, we're introduced to Max and Danny, and they basically end up going to this the witch's old house and light a candle, which you have to be a virgin in order to light the candle. If you light the candle, you resurrect the witches, and then the witches go rampant around the town of Salem and steal children's souls. and then at the end of the movie, they get turned to stone and disintegrate.
Ooh.
But after the credits, the little spell book, which has an eye on it, flips to a page that has a resurrection spell on it, and we are made to believe that the spirit of the witches are trying to resurrect themselves.
Bum bum bing.
So Hocus Pocus dose.
Perfect.
It begins 25 years after the first one, so it takes place in present day, as of now, I guess, so 2018. And all of the original cast are returning. So we have Sarah Jessica Parker, we have Bette Midler, we have Kathy Najimy, we have Omri Katz, we have Thora, and they're all playing their roles. So Bette Midler's playing Winnie, Kathy's playing Mary, Sarah's playing Sarah, and Omri's playing Max once again. Thora is playing Danny once again. But we are introduced to Max's daughter, Jin, who is named after his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that she is played by Abigail Breslin. Danny's son, Thackeray, named after Thackeray from the first movie, Thackeray Binks.
Yeah.
And he's like this 12-year-old kid. He is played by Andrew Astor, who was in Insidious Chapter 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Allison is also played by Vanessa Shaw once again. Made to believe that Max and Allison are separated, so they don't, you know, they're getting a divorce at some point, which sets up Jin's character. But we're given a quick recap of the first movie, the end of the movie, just to kind of lead into it. Mm-hmm. And then there's a title card, Hocus Pocus 2, 25 years later, Salem, Massachusetts. Jin is Alex and Max's only child. They're separated, which obviously had a huge effect on Jin and kind of made her distant. So Max calls for Jin for breakfast. Mm-hmm. We don't get an answer because she's this moody teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to switch over to make sure I was still recording, because that would suck. cut to Jen in bed, and her alarm's going off, but she's not hearing it. She's, like, out. So Max goes up to the door, wakes her up, and tells her that it's Halloween, and that she's in charge of Thackeray, who is her cousin, today. And she has to bring him trick-or-treating later, so don't forget. And she's like, all right, whatever. And so she gets up and meets Thackeray at, like, their meeting point to walk to school together. And she walks Thackeray to school. He's mm-hmm. dressed up as a wizard from Harry Potter. She's, like, Jen is super embarrassed by it. And people are making fun of her making fun of Thackeray as he's walking, and she's like, oh God, this is torture.
Aww.
So they go to school, and, you know, everyone's bugging out about the Sanderson sisters, myth, that happened. They talk about it every year. They always talk about it. And the whole town just denounced it after it happened. So it was denounced as, like, a myth. It never happened. Blah, blah, blah. So we cut to the old house, and we see the book flip open, and a hand turns the page, and we see that it's Winnie, who is Bette Midler.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Sarah and Mary are there as well, but they're, like, in this weird, incomplete state. The resurrection spell it takes 25 years exactly on Halloween of the night that they were destroyed, which was Halloween night, to resurrect. And so they're almost complete, but not quite. And they're still acting the way they act. You know, Sarah is very dim, and Mary is very, very dim, which are their characters, which is very stupid, but whatever.
Dumber.
Yeah, and Sarah and Mary have special powers, obviously. Mary is very good at smelling things, and Sarah can sing and lure children into her.
Oddly specific powers.
They are very specific, and these are not made up. I didn't make them up. These are pre-existing. So,
you know, when you describe it like this, I'm like, oh.
I know. Huh. As I was reading, like, going back over the story, I was like, wow, this movie probably shouldn't be.
This is not as good as I remember.
No. But they talk about how they need to complete what they started 25 years ago. And Sarah's like, cool, I'm going to start singing. And she starts singing. Before this happens, though, Sarah looks at one of the cages in the house, and there are two skeletons in it. And she's like, oh, I like them. Kind of like a morbid reference to the first movie.
Uh-huh.
If you remember correctly, there were these two, like, bully characters that got locked in the cages. Yeah.
Oh, and they never got let out, did they?
They never got let out. So. So I'm gonna.
Oh my God.
So I'm using that.
Oh.
But anyway, we cut back to Jen and Thackeray. They get out of school, and they're both, like, really drawn to, like, the old house. They really want to go to the Sanderson sisters' house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, all right, fine, we'll go, but only for a little bit. And so they start going, and they see, like, this line of children going up to the door of the house.
Mm.
And Jen, like, snaps out of it immediately.
Yeah.
And she's like, whoa, something's going on here. And Thackeray starts to go, and she grabs him really quickly and shakes him out of it. And she's like, she looks into the window. She sees that there are, in fact, Sanderson sisters, or, like, the witches in there sucking out children's souls. Or their youth, well, I guess, rather than their souls.
Yeah.
because Disney, I guess, doesn't want to use souls. I don't know.
It's a little
harsh.
Yeah.
But they but, both.
I mean, you left the bullies to die. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't do that. The movie just never resolved that at the end of the first one.
Oh yeah.
I think there's actually like a mid-credit scene with them in it, just still in the cage. I don't remember that. If I'm remembering correctly, Brittany, correct me.
Brittany, watch the movie.
But anyway, they see that this is happening, and they are like, well, we're going to go get help. And so they run and try to get help. No one is listening to them, obviously, because they sound crazy. And the witches are having a good old time, you know, getting younger and getting more complete. And I actually wrote, they are happy the resurrection spell worked. So that's good.
Yep.
I was very tired when I wrote this. So Mary, we cut to the witches, and Mary sniffs something. She sniffs something running in the opposite direction, or like going in the opposite direction. So she's like, hey, we need to go. And so they wrangle up all the children that have come. They put them in cages, and they start chasing Thackeray and Jin. And so the two kids run, are running, you know, they're not getting acknowledged, because it's Halloween. These women just look like they're in costume.
Yeah.
And they could even say that they were the Sanderson sisters, and people would be like, oh, okay, cool. Like the myth, right?
Nice costumes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Kind of just like in the first movie. The kids are get away from them eventually, and they go to Jin's mother's house, Allison, which is Thackeray's aunt, and she tells Allison what's happening, and Allison is like, okay, we're going to barricade this house. I'm calling your father. We're going to have all of this secured so that they cannot get to us. And so Max, being, you know, the crazed dad who was kind of eaten alive by this experience, kind of like PTSD-esque. Like, kind of like Lori from Halloween in like, the remake, where she's just like, I'm setting up for if this happens again. He's kind of like that.
Gotcha.
And so he comes and he brings all this stuff, like all these traps, and he was ready for this moment. And so they barricade the house. The witches get to the house, and they eventually trap the witches in like this contraption that makes it to where they can't move, and they have to just wait till the sun rises to turn them to stone again. And they eventually disintegrate, but they are way too far away from the house to even open the spellbook again to resurrect themselves. Everyone goes back. Max, Alex, or Allison, Thackeray, and Jin go back to the Sanderson sisters' house, free all the children, and everyone just has a good old November 1st. That's the end.
There you go.
There's the movie you guys wanted for forever, right?
And that's how Hocus Pocus 2 is going to go.
Yeah.
That's the movie that they're going to make.
I think they said that it was going to be a reimagining. Which is great news.
Great news for us.
Oh,
bad
boy.
News for everyone else who's not profiting off of Hollywood's crap fest.
Okay.
I mean, we're not profiting.
No, we're not at all.
We're just having fun. We're profiting in fun.
Yeah.
And friendship.
And friendship. And viewership. Thank you guys for watching. Or listening, I guess.
Thank you. Because without you...
we'd be nothing, kid.
We'd be nothing without you, kid. Join us, we can rule this city, Spider-Man.
No, but thank you for bringing that back to Spider-Man. But sincerely, like, we really appreciate you guys enjoying this and pouring yourselves into this as much as Casey and I pour ourselves into it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Oh,
Hellraiser.
Yeah. Well, that was actually what I was going to say. okay. I'm gonna just say this part of the movie, and you just like listen, and then afterwards like correct what I got wrong.
Okay.
But for what I remember of the cockroach scene, which is is supposed to be scary, but it's crickets. Really funny.
Yeah.
It crickets. That's it. It's like in a pet store, like the I think the main girl like works in the pet store or something. Yeah.
Kirsty.
Yeah, and so
not,
it's like
not Christy, Kirsty.
Kirsty.
Yeah.
Yep. And she like watches this homeless man walk in and she's like, "Can I help you with anything?" And he like looks at her, like stares her dead in the eyes, reaches into the cricket cage, pulls out just a fistful of crickets, and then just pops them into his mouth. And he just starts eating these crickets and she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, has not broken eye contact. He's just looking at her, and he's just grabbing. He reaches in again, grabs another handful of crickets, and he's just sitting there popping them in his mouth like popcorn. And she's like, "Get out!" And he just leaves.
Oh man! And it, dude. And, It's even better than I remember.
And it's literally just that. That's all it is.
Yeah, like, we're as the audience, we're like supposed to know, or like we're supposed to be like, oh, the homeless guy's like possessed by like a Cenobite.
Something's weird with him.
Yeah. but we aren't given anything. We never know.
Okay. And then, yeah. Oh no, go ahead.
And then at the end of the movie,
yeah,
the homeless guy comes back. Doesn't he like this is vague, but he like bursts into like this monster, like this dragon monster or something, and like
and yeah. Yeah, like there's like a fire. Like yeah. There's a fire going. He walks up to the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Suddenly turns into a dragon. And then flies away into the night.
Yeah, it's something.
And let me tell you, that has no bearing on the plot.
It doesn't. It's never acknowledged. Well, it's acknowledged by Kirsty, but like she doesn't know that something's wrong with him. She just knows that he's a homeless person that walked into her pet store and ate a bunch of crickets.
Also, what are you doing? I guess they're like selling crickets for food.
Yeah, for like
the reptiles.
Yeah, I guess. But like,
but
why is it accessible to customers?
Like, why is it right at the front of the store?
Yeah, well, it's not. It's like kind of at the back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But still, like.
Like any person could just walk in, reach into the cricket pen, and eat a handful of crickets.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those movies that you kind of have to see to. You just have to watch it. The practical effects are great. If you're into body horror, then it's a great one to watch. It's kind of necessary, but just be ready to not be impressed by the acting because it's awful. All around. Sorry, Hellraiser.
Get out.
Sorry, Hellraiser fans. And be prepared to kind of like watch the movie and then instantly forget about anything that happens. Because, like I said before, I watched it probably about a week ago, and everything is very vague still. It's. But that cricket scene holds a very dear place in both of our hearts, I think.
Oh my gosh. I just remember you watching that.
Yeah, like, for the first time.
Yeah, because we were like, we were roommates at the time. Back in college, we were roommates.
Yes.
And I remember you were like sitting on the couch watching Hellraiser. And I walk in, I'm like, hey, what you watching? And you're like, I'm watching Hellraiser, baby. And so I come in and sit next to you, and I'm just, like, glancing over at it. And then this scene plays, and we're just watching it. And then we just look at each other, we're like, wait, what?
It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, so, yeah, there's that. That's a little story for you.
It is. Some origin stories.
Mm-hmm. We're glad you stay tuned for this long to listen to this little, to listen to us spin a little yarn for you.
Yeah.
Stay
tuned, because in a couple of days, you get a big old bonus episode where Casey and I talk about something that...
Direct to DVD?
It's
a secret.
It's a secret to, everyone in this case,
including us,
because
so
yeah,
professional. All right. we got a direct to DVD planned. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be real good.
If you have suggestions for movies, for challenges, we got a challenge and we didn't even ask for one, so that's cool. If you have a challenge, if you'd like to challenge us to do something on air. We'll do it as long as it's family friendly.
Yeah.
That's just about it.
Yeah. And if you're like, hey, I want to hear more about this on a direct to DVD, or I want to hear your guys' opinion on this thing for something, then we can include it. Direct to DVDs are fun like that. We can just talk about whatever we want. So
yeah, they're kind of just discussion based.
Yeah,
as opposed to the pitches that we usually give.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, cool. Thank you so much for listening to this round of Crappy Hollywood Reboots. This has been Chur.
Mm-hmm.
I've been Casey,
and I think I've been Trace.
You've been traced. And have a good night.
Yeah.
Or day. Yeah, we don't know what time it is.
Depending on when you listen to this, I guess.
Yeah. Cue the outro.
Okay. I have a drill near me.
Wait.
Woo! Outro.
Hold on. I'm gonna stop the thing.
Crappy Hollywood Reboots.